Has anyone been to the ocean before? To the ocean? I think probably the bigger question is, who hasn't been to the ocean? Right, I think we've all experienced the ocean. The first time I'd ever been to the ocean was on a cruise with my beautiful wife. And my memory of that cruise of the ocean was we were on this private beach in Honduras. And it was picture perfect. It was the beautiful beach, clear blue water, very calm, just serene. Everything was picture perfect. Everything that you would have wanted out of that kind of paradise-like experience. The second time we went at the ocean, we were out in San Diego visiting my cousin. And that ocean was a lot different. It was the, Atlantic Pacific. This water was much rougher. It was much choppier. It was still a very fun experience. My cousin and I went out to the water, and the shore, it was shallow for quite a while. So to get up to about your hip in the water, you had to go out some distance. And we were out there, and we would let the waves come, and the wave would come and just hit us in the chest and would knock us back, knock us over. We were having this great time. We were acting like little kids. And we just kept at it. We were out there for some time. The wave would come, and it would hit us, knock us back. And then we would get up, and we would do it again. And eventually here, we noticed that the water was no longer waist high, but it was up to our chest. And then we look back, and amazingly, all the people that were behind us got much smaller. We had gone out a lot further than we had initially anticipated for. And even though the people behind us were small, you could sense panic in at least our group and other observers on the beach. There was a panic that kind of arose in us. Now, we didn't get out so far that we were unable to come back, but because we were so focused on the waves in front of us, hitting us, and then hitting us, and hitting us, we weren't paying attention to the ocean pulling that water back into itself. And along with the water, it was pulling us back into the ocean as well. And I think that is an illustration. John Piper has made the comment before that the life of this world is not a lake, it's a river. If you were to look at your life and say, what is it more like? Is it that pristine beach where the water is nice and calm, that there's no undercurrent? Or is it more of the situation that we had in California where the waves were hitting you and the current was taking you? I can't speak for you guys, but for me, my life is much choppier than a pristine beach and the beautiful ocean. Today, we're going to talk about drifting in our spiritual life. And to just kind of start out, that when we talk about drifting is not sinning. Drifting is more of not growing. And there are some dangers of that drifting. So before we start, I want to just kind of talk about the things that we should know about drifting. So one, drifting requires no effort. That by definition, to drift is to slowly move with no control no control of some direction. So there's an outside force that is moving you in whatever direction it wants to move you. We never drift upstream or against the tide. That just like the ocean pulling that water back into the ocean, the world has a way of pulling you back into the world. You're never going to drift into a stronger spiritual life. The world is constantly fighting to pull you back into itself. So faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. If we had a key verse for today, it's probably going to be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And it says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to, first just kind of take note of that word effort. Okay, so to grow, she likes that when I'm pointing with it. To grow in spiritual godliness, you have to put forth effort to increase the measures in which you are going to be effective in your faith. So to just drift and not put any effort in, you are going to be ineffective and unproductive. And then Peter closed out the letter of 2 Peter talking about that you must continue to grow. But to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's a command to grow. The moment you stop growing and you start drifting, you start to move backwards and downwards. So the third thing that we should know about drifting is that the speed downstream increases. That as you are drifting, the dangers of drifting increase. So the longer you're drifting, the more dangerous it goes. You don't usually hear the waterfall until it is too late. And then when we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern where we are. And so as we move farther and further from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. So some common signs of drifting. There's a diminished desire to study God's Word and to pray. That the Bible is a very unique book. It's a source of information not found anywhere else. That without God's revelation, how can we truly know what our origin is, what our purpose is, what our destiny is? It tells us of sin's consequences. It shows us how God saves us from sin. It provides us direction for living a joyous life. And so when one loses that desire to study the Word, it is a very common sign that they are starting to drift. And prayer is an avenue to communicate with God. So Jesus showed us an example. He often went alone to pray. He showed us the value of prayer. In Luke 18, he expressed the concern that his disciples should not grow weary to pray. And that when Christians pray less and less, they are drifting more and more from Christ. Another common sign of drifting is that there's a diminishing desire to be with God's people. So this includes attending service or worship to God. We should always look to have the attitude of the psalmist. In Psalm 122, it says, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And when we no longer rejoice in the worship of God's presence, we are starting to drift. But it's not just attending a Sunday service. So fellowship with God's people extends to edification. So Romans 14:19 says, "Therefore, let us make every effort." I don't know where I'm at my thing. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." And then Hebrews 3:13 says edification should occur daily. We're also warned that the right kind of friendship can strengthen us or harm us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, "Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help one another up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." But then Corinthians 15 warns us that bad company corrupts good character. So when a Christian starts to prefer a life with those of the world and not with their brethren, it is a very common sign that they are drifting towards spiritual destruction. Another common sign is that there's a diminishing desire to share the gospel. That think about like when you read a good book, you see a good movie, you're watching a good TV show, you have this want to share it with people that you like and you love. When you obey the gospel and you've been made new in Christ, that same desire to share that good news should be just like that desire to share a good book or a movie or anything else. So when we no longer have that desire to share the gospel, it can be a very common sign that you are drifting. And fourth, there is an increased thrill in things of the world. So I'll use myself as an example here. Today at 4:30, I'm going to go watch a football game, and I'm going to cheer the football game. I'm going to cheer for my Philadelphia Eagles. If we win, we're in the playoffs, and we're going to get excited, and we're going to hoot and holler. When do I hoot and holler and cheer for Jesus? Like, when was the last time that you had something that you were so excited about, so you were cheering, you were excited? Like, when was the last time you did that for Jesus? Like, truly. You know, like Star Wars just came out, right? And it's been all the buzz. You read reviews, you read that, you make sure. I mean, movies were selling out months in advance. When was the last time Jesus was sold out? You know, when was the last time that you could just have that kind of affection towards Christ? In 1 John, he warns us of love of the world. That do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God loves forever. So when you find yourself getting more excited about the things of the world and less about Christ, you are drifting. Again, remember, just like the ocean, the world is going to constantly, just by its nature, try to pull you back into itself. Now, there are some remedies about drifting, or against drifting. First one is you have to keep growing. So spiritual growth is explicitly stated in the epistles. Again, at the end of Peter's second epistle, he had a command to grow, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to grow in the grace and knowledge. Let's go back to the verse in 2 Peter verse 1, that for this very reason make every effort to add to your faith. Again, there's that word effort. It is work. It is, you have to have the desire to work towards growth. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you will keep from being ineffective. So again, it's implying that when you put forth the effort, you will increase in those qualities. The goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, affection, love. When you constantly work towards getting to know Christ, when you're constantly listening to what He is saying, you are constantly growing and leading yourself into those qualities. Abounding in these graces, being fruitful, leads to growth. And again, that growth has a concentrated effort. It also means that there is no place for retirement in the Christian life. Paul says in Philippians 3, that I do not consider myself, I press on to take hold of what which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. He says that basically there's no looking back. It's constantly moving forward. Your work is never done as a Christian. You're never going to stop growing. Another remedy is to watch out for the undercurrents. So we must always be on the guard for an undercurrent of temptation. For we have a fleshly nature which wages wars against our soul. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans so that they accuse you of doing wrong. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." And in Galatians 5, "So which I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify in the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." So if we are walking in the Spirit, if we are constantly growing, our desires is not going to be of the world. And then we must also have a strong anchorage. Just know that we are not alone in these efforts. That while we work out our salvation, God is at work in us. That when we are rooted and grounded in Christ, our minds must be anchored to the truth, possessing an unshakable hope, and rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. That alone just says that when we partner with Christ, He is going to give us the strength to keep ourselves from heading out into the world. That undercurrent that is constantly trying to take us to the world, He is going to ground us. He is going to be that anchor that keeps us from drifting. You know, it was a while ago, but Andre had a message about, you know, about an anchor. And that anchor being up in the sky. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus because the anchor goes straight up. So the mark of a true child of God is that, not that they won't drift, is that we won't drift for very long. That many have drifted away from the Lord, but we would be arrogant to say that it cannot happen to us. So are the signs of drifting in your life? I want you to honestly ask yourself, is my desire to study God's word and pray diminishing? Is my desire to be with God's people not what it has been in the past? Have I lost my desire to save those who are lost? And am I too enamored by the things of the world? And if we must, if we are answering yes to those questions, we must confess that, you know, to God first, but then I think the people around us. You know, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 2 said that we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, we and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Just that first sentence, that we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. What have we heard? We've heard the Word. You know, the Word is not the bird. You know, to contrary pop culture, the Word is the Word of Christ. I'm glad that my wife laughed at that. But when we spend time with Christ, we find that we will be growing spiritually. When we are finding ourselves without that presence of God in us, and we are just drifting, we will allow the world to creep in. And that is when we will start to have destructive behaviors. So it's not a matter of drifting is, oh, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm not really feeling like reading the Word right now. When you're doing that, you are moving backwards. There's no standing still in the Christian life. It's either you're moving forward or you're sliding backwards. So keep in mind, you know, be very aware of your actions and whether or not you are drifting. Because where drifting can seem very harmless, you often don't realize until it's too late, until you are already far past that safety area. And with that, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ability to grow with you, Father God. We thank you that you are our partner alongside our spiritual growth, Father God. We thank you that you give us the great resources. We thank you that you are the anchor that will not move, Father God. We thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for the community that we have. We thank you for all that we have, Father God. We pray this in your name. Amen. And with